Earlier this month, we spoke with gun instructor Rick Ector about the increase in the number of women in Michigan with concealed pistol licenses, CPLs. My next guest wants to continue this conversation, and she wants to do it by exploring the role that firearms play in violence against women. Kristen Moore is with the Michigan chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Thank you for being with us today, Kristen.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So according to the statistics you gave us, the presence of a gun in domestic violence situations can increase the risk of homicide for women by 500%?
That's right. It becomes five times more likely that a domestic violence situation will end in homicide if there's a gun present.
Now, some will argue that having a gun there is self-defense for the woman. What is your take on that?
That's everybody's choice, and Moms Demand Action respects that choice to keep a gun for self-defense. But when somebody makes that choice, it should be an informed choice. They should know about the potential for self-defense, but also that the risks that gun ownership introduces. As I understand it, it's well established in the medical literature, the public health literature, that gun ownership is a risk factor for firearm suicide, firearm homicide, and fatal and non-fatal accidental shootings. So what I mean is, if a gun is present, the probability of these outcomes increase. So just by having a gun in your home, you become more likely to be a victim of gun homicide, suicide, or an accidental shooting. The presence of a gun in a domestic violence situation makes it five times more likely that it will end in homicide. American women are 11 times more likely than women in other high-income countries to be shot to death. In terms of firearms, the United States is the most dangerous place for women. So despite the high rate of gun ownership, the statistics say that guns are not keeping people safer. And in some areas of our lives, we make decisions based on probability and statistics. And we say, oh, the statistics say that this isn't going to keep me safer. And then in other areas of our lives, we hear anecdotes. Maybe somebody hears a story of a horrible home invasion or has been a victim of a violent crime. And certainly, it's perfectly understandable that that could lead somebody to want a gun for self-defense. But I just think it's important that that choice be informed, that people understand that you introduce risks into your home. And then not just risks to the adults in the home, risk to the children in the home. Day after day, every single day, we hear stories of children getting their hands on guns and shooting themselves. Children are curious. They're impulsive. And in one study, I think parents who thought they had their gun hidden away, two-thirds of children knew where the gun was. And also, I wanted to talk about the work that Moms Demand Action is doing to keep women safer by preventing guns from getting into the hands of dangerous individuals in the first place.
Yeah, in fact, the email you wrote us, you note that you support the Second Amendment and the choice that any law-abiding woman makes to purchase a gun. So tell us, what does this look like? You want to prevent felons and domestic abusers from getting guns. How do you do this?
The first most important step is background checks on all firearms purchases. While the discussion about gun rights and gun safety can be very divisive, there's consensus on this point. Something like 90% of Americans favor background checks for all firearms purchases. But even if you survey gun owners, even if you survey NRA members, 74% of NRA members respond that it's perfectly reasonable for somebody to undergo a criminal background check before they purchase a gun. And the research shows that this does, in fact, save lives. In the 16 states that go beyond the federal standard, the federal requirements for background checks, the rates of certain kinds of crimes are significantly lower. So, for example, in the states that have higher background check standards, women are shot to death by their intimate partners at a 38% lower rate. The rate of firearm suicide, 39% lower. Significant decrease in gun trafficking crimes, significant decrease in law enforcement being shot. So background checks really do help to save lives.
Very measurable. And your feeling about where Michigan stands with this?
Michigan actually does go beyond the federal standard on handgun purchases. Whether you go to a federally licensed dealer or a private seller, you have to have a background check before you purchase a handgun. And that's really commendable. I'm really pleased that that's where Michigan stands. On the other hand, on long guns, you can, in Michigan, purchase a long gun from a private seller without a background check. So presumably, I could go out to a gun show and purchase a semi-automatic weapon, you know, some sort of long gun with no background check whatsoever, provided it's from a private seller, not a federally licensed dealer. I undergo more scrutiny when I buy a box of Sudafed.
Hmm. Now, earlier this year, we know Governor Snyder vetoed legislation that would have allowed people with personal protection orders to get concealed carry permits. So they reworked the bill. The provision that would have removed that blanket CPL ban for people with PPOs was scrapped. And then the governor signed that revised bill. And, of course, as we know, it modifies the process for getting a concealed pistol license. It eliminates the county gun boards by the end of the year. Did you consider all of that a win, or how did you regard that?
We consider it a win. The original version of that bill, Senate Bill 789 from the previous legislative session, contained that dangerous provision where somebody with a restraining order against him could obtain a CPL. And we are so pleased that the governor vetoed that bill. Moms Demand Action and our coalition partners were instrumental in that through our mobilization and our call tools. I think we generated something like 1,000 calls to the governor's office. The revised bill passed quickly and Governor Snyder signed it. Moms Demand Action opposed that bill. I think lowering the standard for obtaining a CPL is the wrong direction for Michigan. It takes Michigan from being a limited discretion shall issue state to being a no discretion shall issue state. And I think it is perfectly appropriate for local law enforcement to be able to exercise discretion in deciding whether somebody can have a CPL. Somebody can be known to local law enforcement to be a real danger. Lowering the standard for CPLs is the wrong direction for Michigan. On the other hand, this was the third version of that bill, and we knew it was coming, and getting that dangerous PPO provision out was a real victory.
And with that in mind, do you feel like you have Governor Snyder's support in these issues that matter so much for you?
I was very happy with the veto in January of 789. I was happy with the veto in 2012 of the similar version of that bill. I think his record on this issue is mixed, and I think I just have to consider that on a case-by-case basis. But I really do hope that he will come down on the side of gun sense.
Circle back to self-defense for women. So apart from guns, what does your group promote for self-defense for women?
So our real focus is keeping guns away from dangerous individuals, from felons, domestic abusers, the dangerously mentally ill, terrorists.
And people will say all of those will not pay any attention to laws.
That's true. That's true. And this is a common argument that criminals, by definition, don't obey the laws. But we are a nation of laws. You could say murderers aren't going to respect the law. Why have laws against murder? The statistics bear out that where there are stronger laws, gun crime is reduced. So while I hear that argument over and over again, criminals don't follow laws, there's empirical data to suggest that stronger laws lead to lower crime.
But what about self-defense for women? Because that was kind of the whole thrust of why we're told we're seeing an increase in women getting CPLs. Is there an alternative?
Personally, not as a member of Moms Demand Action, I have an alarm system. And, I think there are so many things that women can do in terms of situational awareness, being aware of your situation, trusting your instincts. If something doesn't feel right, then maybe trust your instincts and get out of that situation.
Kristen Moore is with the Michigan chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Kristen, it was good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me here.